It's crucial that we just get on the ship together. We know what happens. You've seen like 3 or 4 weeks ago what happens when a captain doesn't do his work well. We saw that the ship over in Italy. Everybody see those pictures? Just totally on the side. How many people were on that ship? 4,000. Just absolutely, what a sight that is. That ship is so huge. It's like several football fields long. And how does that happen? I haven't heard the exact details yet of how it happened. One thing I did hear is possibly that the captain was kind of on a dare, so to speak, and ran too close to shore. The rocks underneath just tore a 150-foot hole in the bottom of the ship. And what I did hear was the black box. Did you hear the black box of the patrol on land telling the captain, stay on the ship, get back on the ship, because the captain went and jumped over and got on the lifeboat with them, leaving all those passengers on there, and you're not allowed to do that. If you're a captain of a ship, you're the last man off the boat. And the guy's yelling at him, get back on the ship, get back on the ship, you got people over there, get back on the ship. And he says, oh, I don't know, you know, and he says some excuse. He says, I'm going to ruin you. You get back on that ship. And what happens when your leadership isn't tight, or your leadership cuts corners, or thinks it's a game, or got too comfortable with their leader's role, and too complacent, you get devastating results. It's our prayer, it's my prayer, as the head of this leadership team, that doesn't happen to us. And so I'm just going to tell you, I'm in Scripture, I'm studying, I'm trying to stay before the Lord, because I know, even though I read different articles and different magazines and different blogs of youth leaders, or of people, you know, commenting on how to lead youth, or how to lead young adults, how to lead college, what's wrong with this, what's wrong with that, I'm looking really for one thing. I'm looking for how biblically based and how biblically sound or biblically generated are these answers that they're coming up with, because I've been in this youth ministry thing so long that I have seen generation after generation after generation of answers, of reasons, of how the newest thing of how to go ahead and get young people to become good adults. And all too often, let me tell you, what is woefully and absent, unfortunately, is that Scripture really isn't at the core. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going with this fad or that fad or this wave or that wave, and Scripture isn't driving you, it isn't but too long that your ship starts to capsize. By God's grace, we haven't seen that here at TD. Because by God's grace, at the very core of our ministry is the Word of God. I told your parents last week, the Word of God, the most important set of words, the most important text, the most treasured, the most valuable, the most amazing. I mean, this is more precious than the crown jewels. I mean, this is so valuable. And we have the privilege to be able to open it up. And when it opens up and the Holy Spirit merges with humble hearts, it makes us come alive. Our dead souls become alive. It's the only thing. It's the only means. It's the only avenue that the Holy Spirit uses to make someone who's dead come alive. I mean, there's nothing deader than dead. I've been around death. And let me tell you, when you're around death, it's dead. It's dead. And there isn't any other text out there that God uses to bring death to life. And so we have that privilege to open this up and get, once again, be centered on this. So I stand before you now as your tour guide again. And what I want you to know is that I can't possibly go through everything. So I go over some main points. Like if you take a tour and you have a tour guide, sometimes, you know, if I'm on a tour, I want to stay where I am a little bit longer, and the tour guide's already taking the group. I want to stay here. Like, where are you going to be? Can I meet up with you? You know, it's like, I still want to look at this. And so for me, I'm just going to keep moving you through. My prayer is that you will take this seriously, so that when we do the Bible studies, That'll be your time and opportunity to stay there. Even though the tour guide has moved on, you get to stay there. And so let's go together. I'll be your guide today as we continue to walk through, as we have been walking through, the story of life. You ready? You ready to join me? I need you, though. I need you to be here so bad. I need you to be here so bad. Because I'm going to be here. I need you to be here. Because this is huge. Let me just say this. If you don't understand what I'm about to share tonight, if you don't get it, you're going to be wallowing in your faith. You're going to be challenged to really understand and appreciate the good news. And the good news is at the core of our life. So let's pray. Let's ask God to come and light us a fire, okay? Now that's what we've been praying for tonight. Let's pray it. And then let's go ahead and act on His acting on our prayer. You ready? All right. Go. God, we ask You to be here. No. I always ask that, Lord, and You always are here. So let me rephrase that. God, I ask You to bring us here to meet You, who is already here. And Lord, You know every single person here, not only by name, but by number, by soul, by personality, by the insides of their minds. You know everybody here so well. And I pray, Lord, that You would bring something for each person, just the only way that You can do it, just for them. And that You help us to come together as we start to understand a little bit more about what Your law is about. Lord, light us a flame and continue to fan the flame. Because we're in the midst of something big. We're in the midst of something huge. And Lord, I don't want this ball to drop. I want these young people to be difference makers, to be life changers, to be world changers. I want them to be effective. I want them to be passionate for You. I want them to be obedient to You most of all. I want them to listen. I want them to know that You are better than life, that You are sweeter than honey, yea, than the honeycomb. Lord, grant us an amazing night tonight. I ask boldly and carefully, though, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, I've printed that on your handouts. God just says it straight up front. Listen, guys, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So let's just kind of set the table. You understand? You are not me. As the heavens are higher than the earth, however far that is, so that's as far as my ways are higher than your ways, than my thoughts than your thoughts. If there's something abundantly clear in Scripture, any of you who just even open it up, something comes out really clear, reading through Scripture, studying history, and going through life, it's this. That you cannot put God in a box. Have you figured that out yet? Some of you figured that out. You can't put God in a box. You can't say, I know what God's going to do. You can't figure out what He's going to do and even how He's going to do it. That was William Cooper's understanding and conclusion when he wrote that work, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And here's what he said. He said, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and yet rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. Now the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. For behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His ways in vain. For God is His own interpreter, and He, in His own time and in His own way, shall make it plain. We cannot know for sure how God will act. But what you can know for sure is that whatever way God decides to act, it's going to be consistent with His nature, is going to be consistent with his nature? And it's going to be in love. What do you know about God's nature and his attributes anyway? If you're in my wife's ninth grade Sunday school class, you're starting to study the attributes of God. And that's important. Because if you know that God is going to work in the world's history and in your life consistent with his nature, then it stands to reason you ought to get to know what that nature is about. I've always said that there are two anchors in my life, two anchors that help me get through life, that help me cope and help me just continue to stay the course. That first anchor in my life is that God is in control. That God is in control. That there's somebody out there in this universe who has all the power, all the authority, and all the right, and all the power to execute what he wants. Now that's really scary. Agreed? If there's someone who can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, to whomever he wants, wherever he wants, that's pretty scary power, isn't it? What makes me not fear is the second anchor. And that God is good. That the one who wields that kind of awesome, unbelievable power is governed by his nature, which is good. And so you know that whatever happens in this life, even if you don't understand it with your little puny pea brain, compared to what Johnny would say, God's 10-gallon, you know, what does she say? How does she say it? Something like, he's got a 10... or he's got an ocean and we've got a 10-gallon... something like that. I'll just say it my way. Our little pea brain, compared to his infinite... You know, our brain power and size is like 1 grain on 1,000 beaches. 1 grain on 1,000 beaches of sand. 1 grain of sand on 1,000 beaches. And yet, what we don't understand, he says he does it according to his nature and it will be for good. And that's crucial and critical as you continue to read through Scripture to understand those two things. That God is at work, as C.S. Lewis said, Aslan is on the move. And that he's on the move according to his good character and his nature. It's vital to understand that you have this understanding first before you go ahead and in your arrogance read through Scripture and think you know how to read. You have to come in first with the right pieces in first. And that first thing is that you make sure you understand that about God. It's important that you also have that first piece in first as you read life and as you read history. Because that's going to help you in understanding what's going on. I was going to show you one video tonight, but I'm not going to. I'm going to show you another one, but I'm not going to show you the first one, because I think you all know the story, or you know how it works. The video I was going to show you was of a seminar, of a conference, of a guy who has a lady come up from the audience, and basically, you know how it goes. She has all these big rocks, and then all these little rocks, and what he does is he pours all the little rocks, which represent every other thought in your life, every small thing, everything that you have to take care of, but they're just small. And we tend to take care of the easiest things since they're small, so we take care of those things. And he puts them all in the jar. And then he gives them her the big rocks, which is, you know, her career, her family, her spiritual life. And these are the big things. And she tries to go ahead and stuff it into the jar that is your life. And she tries to stuff it in and stuff it in and stuff it in. And it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. I can't make it fit. And he goes, well, try that jar. And try putting in the big rocks first. The important